Amen. What a blessing. Well, I had a sweet spirit here today. You all continue to pray for Brother Dan Boyman. He's a key piece of our team up here, and we need to get him better, get him back up here. And so you all pray for him, get him squared away. Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, we've not abandoned the Gospel of Mark. Believe me, I want to discern the Lord and find exactly where God wants us to be. And during this past week, the Lord brought my mind to a passage, and while it's a very familiar passage to me, I preach this passage many, many times. There are some thoughts and truths that are fresh and new in my own heart and mind that God has impressed upon my heart. I thought about the hurt of our church. A lot of folk, you have people in the last couple years that's in heaven. You've experienced deep loss. Others suddenly embroiled in trials of health, battling cancer, other debilitating diseases, people with financial issues, no doubt marital issues, no doubt emotional issues, spiritual issues. There's all kinds of issues in our lives, aren't there? There you are. We're looking for answers. We are. You know, as I open the Bible, God doesn't always give me an answer, but He does give me a promise. Because sometimes promises are better than answers. Because, see, when I was a kid, I'd say to my parents, well, why? And they'd give me an answer. And you know what my next word would be? But why? Because I didn't live in their world. I didn't understand. I couldn't comprehend. But yet, I, as a child, had to come to grips with the fact that whether I wanted to or not, whether I agreed or not, that they knew more about it than I did. But see, our Heavenly Father is different from even our earthly parents, and even as I'm as a parent, is that He's perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. Never messes up. You don't always understand it, and neither do I. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. If God came down and said, here's why you're going through what you're going through, here's why you're facing it, and you know what your word's going to be? But why? I don't understand. And so instead of God giving you the answer, God said, let me give you something better than that. Let me give you a promise. Let me give you something that you can grasp hold of, something that you can hang on to. Because, folks, if we're honest today, we're not going to understand everything in life. I'm not going to understand everything in my life. I'm not going to understand everything in your life. We're not going to understand everything in the world in which we live. But we can understand that there's a God in heaven that loves us, who's in control of our universe. He's in control of an election on Tuesday. We ought to do our part, pray about it. But ultimately, do we not understand that the sovereign God of the universe is in control? That doesn't mean I throw up my hands and don't do anything. I do what I'm supposed to do, and then I leave the results to God. Right? And that's the same thing that you and I have to do in our own personal lives. Jeremiah's life is turned upside down. Everything he knows about him is backwards and upside down, and he's looking for answers. And God said, I want you to take a trip with me, Jeremiah. I want you to go down to a place called the Potter's House. And I want to teach you some things. I want you to learn some things about me and what I'm doing in your life and what I'm doing in the nation of Israel. And while God had a message for Jeremiah in his day and the nation of Israel in that day, all right, a message of rebuke, a message of repentance, a message of hope, God has, by way of application, a message for you and me this morning, and we don't want to miss it, okay? We want to get it. And what we want to do is we want to tune in and say, God, speak to me today. Let me hear something from you, from your word, afresh and new, to help me to grasp onto something during this that I can anchor myself to when it seems like everything around me is stormy and turned upside down. Let's look together. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1. If you don't have a Bible, you'll find the verses on the screen. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. I like this next phrase so much. So he made it again another vessel. Aren't you glad he doesn't throw it away? Boy, he'd have threw me away a lot of times. But notice this next phrase, it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, you can put your name there. Can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. Did you catch that? Dear Christian, can I help you understand where you are today? You are in His hand. Did you catch it? Don't miss it, O house of Israel. Let's learn some lessons at the potter's house this morning. Father, thank you for the message of your word. Lord, I have the pleasure and the privilege of pastoring some of the greatest people that I know. They're your people. And Lord, you've given them to me for a time to minister in their lives, to be your under-shepherd, to care for them, to minister to them, to love them. Thank you for those that you've placed around me to assist me and help me in that endeavor. But yet, Lord, ultimately they belong to you. And Lord, they need your help this morning. Lord, do in our hearts what a human cannot do. Do what only you can do. Give us help this morning. Give us hope. Give us encouragement and strength and grace. Give us understanding of your word. Help us to learn of you. And Lord, help us to respond to you, that you might work a perfect work in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Jeremiah goes to the potter's house. God wants to give him an object lesson. There he watches as the potter wrought a work on the wheels, so to speak. He does the work of a potter, and as he watches, God begins to speak to him. He begins to talk to him. He begins to share some things, some truths with Jeremiah about this lump of clay and how it's going to be formed into a vessel, but yet in the process, the vessel's going to be marred. But yet instead of the potter taking that vessel and throwing it away, he simply breaks it all down again and starts all over. Because he's going to make it again, another vessel has seemed good to him to make it. And he says to him, he says, now Jeremiah, can I not do with you, and can I not do with the nation of Israel as this clay is doing, as this potter is doing with the clay? And of course, you know what the answer to that is yes, you can. But then we're going to translate that in our day. Can God not do with us as seems good to him? And the answer is yes. It is. And I want us to notice this morning some truths to understand as God works in our life. And that brings us to point number one. And I want you to jot this down. God is at work. That's the first thing I see. Look again, if you would please, in verse number three. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Did you see that? The potter was at work. And you know what God's saying to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you don't understand it. You don't see it. It doesn't make any sense to you. Everything seems so out of order, upside down, chaotic. But I just want you to know something, Jeremiah. I'm still at work. And the first thing that I want you to get this morning is that when your life is turned upside down and things are chaotic and you can't tell which end is up, I just want to remind you, dear child of God, He's at work. Can we hold on to that promise today? Can we recognize that when we get the bad news, or the things don't go the way we plan, or when our life takes a sudden turn or diversion that is unexpected, that God has not left us, God has not abandoned us, God has not stopped, He's still at work. Matter of fact, I just want to quickly help you with the imagery of the verses. God is the potter. The life of the Christian is not in the hands of some blind, invisible force or fate. Our lives are not left up to chance. I'm glad that I'm not an atheist. I'm glad I'm not. An atheist never makes sense out of anything. They're always confused. You know why? Because life is never going to make sense without the key to life, and that is God. Because when I come to the realization that God loves me, and I come into a relationship with Him, and I become His child, and I bring myself under His care, and His working, and I submit to Him, you know what? Things do begin to make some sense. And I don't understand it all, but at least I have a place that I can anchor to and know that I'm just not left out here bobbing like a cork on the ocean. There is someone at work in my life. Can I remind you that you're in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father, whom the Bible speaks of as our Potter. One of my favorite songs that our choir sings is "The Unseen Hand," and I'm glad that there's an unseen hand at work in my life, an unseen hand at work in your life. And if you're here today and you don't even know Him, I'm here to tell you His unseen hand is at work in your life to bring you into a right relationship with Him. Isaiah 64 verse 8, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand." Isn't that powerful? Clay is a product of the earth, and so is man. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God is a master craftsman, made and formed the human body, breathed into it life, and man became alive. And I just want you to know that we're just lumps of clay. Don't ever lose sight of that. Clay is a capable material, if you know anything about it. It's an elastic nature. It can be molded. And you know, God has so fashioned our lives that it can be molded. Therefore, there is within the clay the possibility for the potter to accomplish his purpose. You see, clay is a material which will bear the impress of the potter's hand, sensitive to his every touch. It can be fashioned. God is the potter. Life is the wheel. It's the wheel upon which the clay of our lives is fashioned. God's so arranging, using the different relationships, situations, circumstances, even adversities of life to mold and fashion us into the person He would have us to become. I'm reminded of the promise, Romans 8:28. The promise that all things work together for good. Didn't say everything was good, but just said all things, good, bad, bitter, sweet, hard, difficult, wonderful, joyful, all of the different flavors of life, all the situations, God said, and we know, we can be certain that God causes all things, He works all things together for our good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His promise. It's not everybody's promise, but it's the promise to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And God has made you a promise. He didn't say everything is going to be sweet. And He didn't say it's all going to be rosy. He didn't say it's all going to work out like we thought it would. But here's what He is saying. I'm going to make it all work together for your good. That's what the promise is. Never lose sight of that. That's what the wheel is all about. You see, as there are times when the wheel of life turns so swiftly, we become confused, even afraid. But remember, the wheel is controlled by the potter. He alone determines its speed. Then remind you that God is the potter, we're the clay, and life is the wheel. God is at work. That's the first lesson I want you to learn. Number two, jot this down. God has a plan. See, truth number one, God is always at work. From the moment we come into this world, God is at work, arranging, dropping handfuls of purpose, so to speak, working and orchestrating in our lives that would bring us into a right relationship with Him, giving us the choice to receive Him or reject Him. Once we have made that choice to receive Him, we become the called according to His purpose. Do you follow me? I become the clay in His hands, so to speak. God can't have a plan for your life until, first of all, He has your life. You've believed on Him as your Savior. You've trusted Him. You've received Christ and His salvation. He's made you into a new creature, and it's that new creature that He begins to work through to fashion and mold and make us into what He'd have us to be. God is at work. Every Christian can be assured of that. Number two, He's got a plan. Now here's what you need to understand about the plan. You don't always see it. "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, Thou our potter, and we all the work of Thy hand." And you understand that before the clay is ever placed on the wheel, the potter already has the vessel he's going to make in mind. He already knows what it's going to look like. He already has the idea, the end product. Before the clay ever goes on the wheel, He knows the outcome. And let me just tell you, dear child of God, listen, God has a plan for your life, and He will finish that plan. Philippians 1:6, that we can be assured that He who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I can resist Him. But God's going to finish his work one way or another. We're going to get there. I'd like to go the easy way. What about you? By being responsive. Each turn of the wheel, each impress of the hand is all directed toward that end. We see just a lump of clay. He sees the finished product, and God has a perfect plan for your life. The clay is not attractive in itself, says J. Wilbur Chapman. When the hands of the potter touch it, and the thought of the potter is brought to bear upon it, and the plan of the potter is worked out in it and through it, then there is real transformation. And friend, listen, God is not looking for confirmation in the sense that God is not wanting us to confirm. God is wanting to work in us to bring about a transformation. God works from the inside out. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As a master craftsman, God is preparing our lives. God has a plan and a purpose, and I may not look like much, and you may not look like much, but I'm like the little girl that said, the good news is God isn't finished yet. He's still working on me. He patiently works the clay, tenderly molding its form, directing its shape to fulfill His desired plan. There's many obstacles that are there to overcome in making a vessel, and you say, why? But, and the answer is because clay's not always what it should be. And God has to overcome obstacles in our lives to make us what He wants us to be. And you say, why? Because like clay, we're not what we always ought to be. Somebody said it takes time to make a worthwhile product, and God's willing to wait. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? I'm not always what I should be. I'm not always responsive. There's times I'm resistant to what God wants to do in my life. There's times that you're resistant to what God wants to do in your life. And that's when God has to put the pressure on us a little more to bring us into conformity to His plan, that He might work His transforming process in our lives. He has absolute right over the clay. Could you jot that little note down under this? He's got absolute right. He alone has the power to give us our shape, our beauty, our usefulness. The clay can't mold itself. Young adult, listen to me. You will be one of the most frustrated Christians on earth if you're trying to mold yourself. It's frustration. It's failure. Let God do that. Let God set the plan. Let God set the direction. Let God. We have no right to suggest to the potter what form or fashion the clay has. No right to suggest to the potter what form or fashion it will take. All of that is in the hand of the potter. He's the potter. We're the clay. God alone gives to us those things in our lives. He's able to exceedingly abundantly above more than we can ask or even think for us. Listen to this. For us to be something other than what God planned is to be a failure. Isn't that powerful? Number one, God is at work. Number two, God has a plan. I don't always see the plan. I don't always understand the plan. Number three, jot this down. God uses a process. You ever notice there's no such thing as instant spirituality? We may have instant biscuits, instant mashed potatoes, instant grits, instant Kool-Aid, instant Tang. I never really cared for Tang. I'll stick with the strawberry Kool-Aid. But the reality of it is we've got instant everything, but there's no such thing as instant spirituality. It takes time to grow. God, from the moment we're saved, implements a process. The Bible calls it sanctification. Growing in grace. It's the process by which God is fashioning us as the potter does the clay to make us what He wants us to become for His glory. The process can be seen here because I want you to notice that at verse 4, I just want you to catch something. The vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now, we're going to come back to the part about it being marred. I want you to pay attention that it's in the hand of the potter. Now, here's where the process begins. I am in His hand. Are you following me? All right? The potter goes out and searches for the clay. You know where you find clay? In undesirable places, such as under creek banks or around the edges of old stagnant ponds. And when the potter finds the clay, he digs it out of the earth and it becomes his own. You know that's what God does when he saves somebody? He comes to undesirable people in undesirable places and he reaches down by his grace and he lifts us out and he saves us and forgives us of our sins and makes us his very own. That's what he did for me when I was 17 years old, when he saved me by his grace and I believed on his death, burial, and resurrection for my sins. He found me and I became his. I like how the psalmist put it, Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Glad for the day when God found me. I trust that you're joyful about the day God found you. And you know what, friend? If you're here and not saved, he wants to find you today. Make you his own. And once he finds me, I'm in his hand. You know, when you pull that clay out of the pond, you know, there's sticks and pebbles and rocks and all kinds of stuff in it. It's not ready to go on that wheel yet. There's all kinds of impurities in that lump of clay. It's at that moment that the process is going to begin in his hand. It's much like a woman who makes a biscuit. You know, I'm not talking about pulling it out of the can. I'm not being unkind, it's just different. I like those frozen ones, you know what I'm saying? But there's a process. Now I remember my grandma going through the process and as I read about clay and the pottery and the working of it, I learned first of all there was a wedging process. And what happens is once that clay is found, the potter will rip it apart and slam it back together just like this. Over and over and over again. You know what he's doing? He's pulling the impurities out of that, the sticks and the stems and the rocks and the pebbles and the trash, all of the impurities that would hinder the vessel making process. It wasn't ready to go on the wheel yet. There was some mashing and smashing that needed to take place to get some things out of it. So that he could begin making the vessel. Removing air bubbles, hidden impurities that would frustrate and hinder the work of the potter. After he had done that, then he would begin to knead it. You know what I'm talking about? Where the potter would, so much like the biscuit, you would stretch the dough, fold the dough, and mash the dough. Stretch the dough, fold the dough. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, you're with me. That's what they do. And that softens the clay. It makes it sensitive and responsive to the potter's fashioning touch. And I just wanted to tell you that there's times that life smashes us. You know what he's doing? He's knocking out of our lives that doesn't look like him. There's times life seems like it's pulling us apart. We're torn in so many different directions and it seems like we're hit by one thing right after another. What is going on, preacher? He's stretching me. He's softening me. He's tenderizing me. I'm in his hand. But then the next step is he's going to put me on the wheel. So we go from in his hand to on the wheel. Can I just say that that's called the throwing process? And it's more than just taking a lump of clay and throwing it on the wheel. No, it involves the entire fashioning process. The most important thing about the wheel is not its size, but its center. If the center's right, then everything else is right. And the best place for any of us to be is right smack in the center of God's will for our lives. Can I tell you, if the center is right, then everything else is going to be right. And if you will center your life, your marriage, your family, in your future in Jesus Christ, it will be right. We need to understand that. Let me just say that throughout the throwing process, the potter's interest is always on the clay. Can I just remind you that God's always interested in you? It's always interesting that his eye is never lifted, his attention is never diverted, and watch this, his hand is never removed. The moment the clay goes on the wheel, the eye, the attention, the hand of the potter is on that lump of clay and it is never diverted. The hand is never lifted. The eye is never moved. That's how amazing my God is. He can control the universe, everything in it. And He can put His eye, hand, and attention on you and me and everybody else that belongs to Him all at the same time and never get diverted. I loved hearing Dr. Strange preach. I love some of his things that he did when he's talking about being in awe of His Word. And you go, and then, you know, y'all remember that when you hear him preaching on that? Yeah, that touched me. God never goes, huh? Never does that. Whoa! You know, we get caught off guard. God never gets caught off guard. Never diverted. But I want you to get this. I want you to jot it down. From start to finish, there's one word to describe the entire process. You say, preacher, what is it? It's called pressure. It's through the pressures of life that God fashions us. I'm going to give you some verses. I want you to jot them down. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. For we would not, 2 Corinthians 1:8, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul said, the pressure was so great, I thought I was going to die. You ever been there? I'm sure if you talk to the clay, there are times he would say the whole process hurts. There's times when our lives seemingly are ripped apart and slammed back together. It may be that God is wedging you, making you workable, removing hidden impurities that would frustrate and hinder His working in your life or my life. There's times when we're hit with one thing right after another. It just seems like the tire goes flat, the kids get sick, the bill, you know, it just boom, 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 boom. You know, could it be that God at that moment is stretching us and building our faith, and He's sort of molding and fat mashing on us a little bit, kneading us, softening us, making us more responsive, more sensitive, more attentive to what He's doing in our lives. Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intently it seems beyond strength. Pressed in the body, pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressure by foes and pressure by friends. Pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod. Pressed into liberty where nothing clings. Pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into living a life in the Lord. Pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. That's what He's doing. But here's what I want you to remember about this process. Not only does it involve pressure, but it's a process of love. Listen to this quote. If the divine potter break us by the pressure of His hands, it is but to make. If He crushes us, it is but to create. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? And once you get number four and I'm done. God is at work. I can promise you as we end this year and we're going to move into another that somewhere down the line, you're going to need what I'm telling you today. Because life is going to get foggy, misty. What I mean by that is you don't really understand what in the world's going on in your life. Seems like trial, trouble, difficulty, hardship. It comes out of nowhere. Nobody expects to go to the doctor and hear the C word. You have cancer. Nobody expects to hear that. Or whatever else that we hear. But I can promise you that there's going to be things come into our lives and have come into our lives, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you must always cling to the fact that God is at work. He has not quit working on me. He hadn't forgotten me. He's not abandoned me. He doesn't love me less. He's at work. Number two, He's got a plan. I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't make sense out of it. It's not how I would do it. But the divine potter has a plan. Number three, He uses a process of pressure and love to bring about His desired plan in our lives. And this is the most important one. Are you ready for it? Are you still with me? His ways are perfect. Now here's where trust and faith comes in. Because, you see, from the human perspective, what God's doing doesn't always seem perfect, does it? It's not how we would do it, is it? We would probably do it in a different way or make a different decision or bring about a different... We wouldn't do it His way. But there's where we have to submit ourselves to the will of the potter. Because His ways are perfect, and that's what you've got to anchor yourself to. Would you jot down Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9? Would you jot it down? I don't have time to turn to all of them, but I want you to get it this morning. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I remember when James, our son, was little. You know how kids are. You're walking through a parking lot and they want to run. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you stay right there. Don't you run. You know there's danger there, but they don't understand it. So James, just a little fella, and I'd be walking along and there would be a bug. I mean, it just squashed all over the, you know, and big, just squashed all over the parking lot. And I say, "You see that bug?" "Yeah." I said, "That's what happened to you when you don't hold my hand." I said, "You get squashed like a bug. Squashed like a bug, Daddy. Squashed like a bug." He didn't understand it all. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's other times as we go through life, you know, we try to teach lessons and hold my hand and all these kind of things. But you know, as our children get older and we say no, and young person, I want you to really tune in right here. As parents, we say no. I'm not going to tell you as parents we're 100% right every time. I didn't get it right every time, and probably nobody else does either. But we do the best we can as imperfect parents to try to create an environment so our children can turn out for God, to try to protect them from that which would be destructive in their lives. But yet, what did we do as young people, and what do our children do? They resist, don't they? Because our ways aren't perfect. Okay? Or it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't seem perfect to them, or it doesn't seem right. Now let's translate that into our relationship with God. Is God always right? You really believe that? Because life's going to test you of whether or not you really believe that. Do you believe His ways are perfect? Then why do we resist it? Because we know it to be true, don't we? But it doesn't fit into the world of our thinking at times. And there's times we think we know best. Or we want, like our children, our own way rather than God's way. Isn't that true? And you know, it's in those moments that we forget that God's always right, and He's always perfect, and He doesn't make a mistake. I wished I could tell you that through all of the process of what I went through, that I handled it all perfectly. Oh, there was some times, buddy, I was on the mountaintop like Job. "Though you slay me, God, I'm going to trust you." And there were other times I said, "God, I don't even understand. God, this isn't fair. God, I've got so much. I was doing this for you and that for you and the other for you. And God, look what you've done to me." You know, it was in those moments I forgot that God was perfect, that He knows what's right, and He always does what's best. Let's look at something, and I'm going to close the message. Look again at verse number 4. "And the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Now, I want you to understand something here, okay? The clay, because it's an inanimate object, it's probably not correct in saying that. It's not alive. So it doesn't purposely resist the potter, okay? There's just something within that lump of clay that tends to resist or prevent or deter the potter from doing what he wants to do with that lump of clay. But now let's translate that clay into living clay, you and me. Okay? We do have a choice, don't we? We can decide. And so when he talks about the nation of Israel, he talks about Jeremiah, he talks about us, it is a conscious choice of resisting the potter's will. Because the most important quality of clay is that it yields. If the clay fails to yield to the hands of the potter, it becomes marred. But you know what the good news is? God doesn't just say, okay, I'm done with you. Parent, don't you ever get so frustrated with your children you tell them you're done with them. You always leave that door open to love them back to Jesus Christ, to help them to become that person God wants them to be. I'm never done. God's never done with you. Can I be shelved in the sense that God can't work His purposes in my life at that point because I'm so resistant, so rebellious, so self-willed? Yes. But does that mean that God stops trying to work in my life or stops trying to work His process? No, He doesn't. I'm just resisting Him to the point that God can't do what He wants to do in my life because I won't let Him. There's never a hint or suggestion that the marring of the vessel was the fault of the potter. It's always the clay. May have been a hidden impurity. May have been the clay was hard and unresponsive, no longer sensitive. Whatever the reason, the clay vessel is marred when it resists the fashioning will of the potter. And I wonder how often we as Christians mar our lives because we resist the will of the potter. We make our own plans. We go our own way. We allow sin to remain hidden and unconfessed in our lives. It may not be we're a drunkard. Could be. But how about pride and jealousy and envy and anger and bitterness and selfishness and unlawful, lustful desires? And we become marred. I want you to know He doesn't throw the clay away. He makes it again another vessel. The Bible says, as the potter seemed good to make it, He's the God of the second chance and the third chance and on down the line. Friend, I am so glad that He's the God of the second chance, aren't you? And I'm glad the clay vessel could be made again as the potter seemed good to make it. And friend, what God wants you and I to learn today is that He's at work in our lives. He's got a plan. I don't always see it and always understand it. He uses a process of pressure and love. And what He does is perfect. And what He desires from me is a sensitive responsiveness and yieldedness to Him that God might bring about His desired purposes in our lives. Because otherwise life gets meaningless. It becomes frustrating. It becomes confusing because we've lost sight of the potter. Corey may have felt that way in a concentration camp as she lost her entire family. They were serving God by hiding Jews in their home from the Nazis that were seeking to exterminate the Jewish people. Corey, as a young girl, had a picture that hung in her home that she looked at oftentimes, but it just seemed like a hodgepodge of colors and threads. It made no sense to her at all. It was so unattractive until she turned the piece over. And then she could understand, because when you first look at it, you're looking at the underside. It makes no sense. But when you turn the picture over and you see the upper side, it reveals a beautiful picture. And Corey used to look at that picture and to be reminded that we often see the underside, which is nothing but sorrow and the events of life often making no sense at all. But God sees the upper side, which is a work of beauty and meaning. And I close with this. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow and I in foolish pride. Forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. I think we may not always understand what God's doing, but I can trust what He's doing and let Him have His way in my life. And I don't know where you are and I don't know what you're going through, but I talked to me this morning. It may be that God's talking to you. It may be that the reason you're frustrated and confused is you've lost sight of the potter. Maybe you've forgotten that He's at work. Maybe you've lost sight of His plan. Maybe you have failed to understand the process. Maybe you've forgotten that His ways are perfect. And maybe today you need to step forward and deal with some hidden impurity Maybe some selfish, prideful resistance of God. Maybe today you need to submit yourself to what God's doing in your life and say, God, your ways are perfect and I want you to have your way in my life. I don't understand it, God. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I trust that you see the upper side, that you know what you're doing. Because see, then it takes it all out of my hands and it places it in His. And I can rest. Otherwise, you know what we do? But when I remember these four truths, I can rest because He's faithful and He'll never fail. And maybe you need to slip forward and place your hands in the hand of God that never fails. Your life, your marriage, your family, young man, young lady, your future. And let God have His way and quit trying to do it your way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.